My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
Believe in Christianity and
so just to be clear, you're not a Christian anymore.
No, but I can will defend things that are about the biblical text, because that's a lot of what I learned about things going through.
Cool. So do you still believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah?
The way I put that is, well, a Messiah means like anointed one. So he's the one that was anointed with something.
No, that's what Christ means.
Yes, Christ means that. Messiah.
So
go look up Messiah.
I guess the question I'm trying to figure out is, do you believe that Jesus fit the bill of the coming Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament?
And that's a part of what I'm going to explain it to, is a meme organism. He's a repeat of the Old Testament prophecies. So that's meme information. Are you familiar with Richard Dawkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the gods of atheism. So his meme is how we can understand the biological nature for Jesus of the New Testament.
Because biological nature.
Prophecies. It's the meme foreshadowings, the different things of meme that's passed through the generational lines. That's what become Jesus and mutated into Jesus in the New Testament.
So you don't think Jesus was an actual divine being?
Jesus said, "You are gods." So
that's a damning non-answer. Do you think that Jesus was an actual supernatural being?
He was a meme organism that was superior in ways to physical people, yeah.
So no, that, well, okay, so you didn't answer the question, but then you said yeah. So, like, yes or no, did he have supernatural powers?
All right, the New Testament supernatural has to do with pneuma. Look it up. And that pneuma has to do with breath. Breath is where memes are transferred. Okay? So I know.
You Numa, Suma, Zuma, Legos in Five.
Yeah, welcome in everybody from the Ian Raid. Big W, Ian.
Yeah, I was just over there trying to see about talking with him, but anyways, I guess it took too long for him to get there. You know, but anyways, a meme organism is what we can see the New Testament people are trying to explain in their language. I understand they didn't necessarily have meme as their in their language back then, but
well, maybe I should ask a better question. Does the Old Testament say anything about what the Messiah is going to be like or do?
I'll be honest, I don't have all that memorized. So I mean, we could look it up or something, but I don't, right off the top of my head, I don't necessarily have as what they're going to say or do. I just, like I said, I don't have that just right memorized. I'm sure I could look it up and figure it out if you need to. But.
Well, I know where they're all at. And Fenn, thank you for the double galaxy. Big W, Fenn. Good to see you tonight. So how about we just read some of the prophecies and ask ourselves if the Bible prophecy came true?
Are you talking about the Old Testament? I guess we can see what you got.
Yeah, cool. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. And this is quoted in the New Testament as being fulfilled in Jesus when he moved to Nazareth. It said that when he moved to Nazareth, then was fulfilled the word of the, or, you know, fulfilled the prophecy that he will be called a Nazarene, which isn't actually a prophecy. It's just like a play on words from this word here, branch in Hebrew is just netzer, which sounds similar to Nazareth. But it says, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. This actually is about the Messiah, by the way. It says, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Cool. So we got this idea. There's going to be a guy that comes along from the stock of David. He's going to be from David's lineage. And what's going to happen? He's going to judge people. He's going to do it righteously. He's with the breath of his lips, he's going to kill all of the wicked. And then once all the wicked are gone, we have world peace. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf, and the lion will feed together. And it says, they will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse, that's still the Messiah, shall stand as a signal to the people, and the nations will inquire of him, and his dwelling will be glorious. On that day, the Lord again will raise his hand to recover the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros to Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. And so all the Israelites are going to be rescued from everywhere they've been scattered from. Did any of that chapter happen when Jesus was alive?
The only thing I can think of is the lion and the lamb is where Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah and the lamb that was slain, and they laid together in the grave. That's kind of how I'd understand that one.
Well, it didn't say the lion and the lamb, though. It says the wolf shall lie with the lamb.
Well, if it says wolf, then I must be mistaken for something else. But I thought right. It was lion and the lamb is where I've always thought.
That's in Revelation.
Okay.
And then right, there's a witch in a wardrobe too.
Yeah, so I mean that's the expectation for when the Messiah comes, is that there's going to be the world peace and there's going to be an ingathering of all of the Israelites, but that certainly didn't happen, did it?
Well, Jesus said, "I think not I come to bring peace, but a sword." So, right? So Jesus wasn't coming to bring peace. So
so then he couldn't be the Messiah.
No, as far as I know, Messiah, if I need to look it up, it means anointed, rub on something like rub.
No, that's what Christ means. That's not what Messiah means.
Well, it's a little bit of both. So a Mashiach typically was either a king or a priest, somebody who would have been anointed, but it's not a spiritual anointing. They're called anointed because they're literally anointed with oil, just like when David gets anointed with oil when he takes on the mantle of kingship. So that's the thing, is he's called the Messiah because he's supposed to be a king, but Jesus was never a king.
Shannon is off the app.
I'm here.
Okay.
Minimize the TikTok thing and try to search up etymology and stuff on Messiah, it turns my mic off.
Yeah, yep.
Right.
So, but anyways, another thing I was going to bring up was about a common equivocation or a pasta God fallacy. Are y'all familiar with those fallacies?
Like a flying spaghetti monster?
That's straw man. You know, you can call it straw man or pasta God fallacy.
I know what a straw man is. I've never heard the pasta God fallacy though.
That's just another name for straw man. It's just straw man, pasta God fallacy. It's, you know, either way. But I mean, you understand that in the equivocation where a word such as God, somebody has one definition and then somebody else has another definition. So they kind of equivocate. They try to put one into the other. For the other, and it's kind of like also a straw man and pasta God.
I think you mean exact word fallacy is what you're looking for, or a semantic fallacy.
No. I'm thinking the equivocation is where somebody takes like their definition of something, but they're using it equivocally, as I understand it. They're like equal. I mean, maybe you could search that if you want to get that. I don't have it right in front of me, and I can't search unless minimize my TikTok, but unless you want to come up with a better equivocation fallacy definition, so I can make sure I'm clear, or, you know, that's fine.
I thought it go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, equivocate doesn't mean you falsely attribute this thing to that thing, like somebody else's definition to your definition. It's when you use the same term in different ways in your own argument, it makes your argument confusing and fallacious.
Okay, that sounds about right, is what I understand. But I kind of was thinking,
like, I understand what you mean by people are equivocating. So I think I get what you mean. But like, but what's the point? Like, people like say Flying Spaghetti Monster exists. What's the problem?
Well, like I say, with the most people I come across, you know, atheists, agnostics, all that, they're what they think of as God is what I'd call the philosophical spaghetti monster sky god construct. Okay, that's where you take all the omni properties and you put them as, you know, the explaining the God title or the word God. You know, God is all mm-hmm. the omni except for. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever known of like omni matter or omni all mass, all matter is an attribute of the God, but almost all the other omni benevolent, omni, you know, everything. So they try to put that into a biblical text. Well, that's not biblical style God. But, that's
strong. I mean, I agree. The philosophical version of God doesn't appear in the Hebrew Bible or the Christian Bible. God is not all knowing in the Bible. That's for sure. Except for one verse, but you could take it to be non-literal the way you read it. But we have got clear examples of God not knowing stuff in the Old Testament.
Yeah,